This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello and welcome to another Wednesday episode of It's Not You, It's Them, but it might be you with me, La La La, Let Me Explain. I just want to say something before I start this episode, because what I always say to people is that if you would like to submit a question for the podcast, you need to send it to @AskLaLaLaLetMeExplain. You see, you people who keep sending it to @LaLaLaLetMeExplain, my main account, I feel like you don't listen to the podcast. In fact, there's no point in me saying this because you're not even hearing it. You need to send it to @AskLaLaLaLetMeExplain. But I just want to explain something about that, which is I do get quite a lot of messages from people sort of saying, hey, I sent this message to your account and you haven't opened it or looked at it. I just want to let you know that when you're sending them to that, there's not a guarantee that I'm going to read it or be able to use it. You can probably assume that there's been something very similar answered on the podcast, which is why I don't need to use your one. So, for example, if somebody writes to me tomorrow and says, what should I do? Me and my husband aren't having sex anymore. I'm not going to choose that kind of theme for a long time because I just did one on last week's Wednesday Agony Aunt episode. Do you see what I mean? So don't get offended if I don't answer them or if I don't see them. I do get a lot and I will pick out ones that are distinctly different to other questions that we've had recently. Anyway, now I've waffled on about that. Let's get on to the actual questions that I have picked for today.
Hi, Lala. So I've been seeing someone only for a couple of weeks now and everything's been going really well. This is the first person I've been seeing since a really awful relationship, which lasted 5 or 6 years. It included the worst kind of physical, sexual and mental abuse. And last night, a new guy came around and we slept together for the first time. And we have a laugh and a joke, the both of us, a lot. He then mentioned something about me being strange when I wouldn't take my bra off. Then we laid in bed, half naked, talking about size and weight, as I'm very slim but fairly tall. And I said, I'm small, meaning weight. He said, you're not small, you're lanky. In a joking way, I guess, but it just sent me sideways. I just completely switched off and couldn't shake out of it. He got upset that I wouldn't tell him what was wrong. Genuinely, he was confused and offered to leave. Everything in me wanted to say no, stay, this is why I'm upset. But I couldn't and I got cross, ended up being really rude to him and he was rude back and stormed off. He then sent me a couple of messages when he left saying he's not the same person as my ex, so why am I doing this, etc. Again, I just couldn't accept his words and just told him he's a typical man. He then blocked me on everything. I don't know how I'm ever going to get past the past. Am I overreacting? I can't imagine any man wanting to date me right now.
Well, this is really shit for you. And I can see that you got absolutely triggered here. And actually, that stands to reason after your previous experience of abuse. In that moment, in bed, half naked, you needed to feel safe and sexy, and he made you feel neither. And to be honest, it sounds like actually he was just being clumsy with his words rather than actually calling you strange and lanky. I think he chose those two awful words, but that neither of them meant anything to him. I think he finds you sexy and attractive and doesn't see lanky as a negative word. But I do think it's a real lack of emotional intelligence, or just intelligence really, on his part to tell you that you're strange for not wanting to take your bra off. I mean, that it's manipulative as well. And it's because it's pretty obvious that somebody being shy about taking a bra off or a part of their clothes it's pretty obvious that that's down to insecurity. And that actually, if you are laying in bed with somebody who's not doing something down because of their insecurities, your job there is you're in a position to make that person feel more secure, not less. We all know that, you know what I mean? If you're laying next to a man and he's like, "Oh, I'm really worried about my penis size," you don't go, "Yeah, that is tiny." You're like, "No, but it's beautiful and I love you." That's your job, to make them feel more secure. And he knew that that was his job. So I think that's a real lack of emotional intelligence right there. And I don't think you necessarily overreacted. You felt vulnerable and emotional and you shut down. You really couldn't control that in the moment. And I think that the way that you reacted is actually a clear signal to you that you need to address this trigger and find ways of managing those reactions. Now that you know that this is such a trigger for you, you need to find ways to manage that if it happens in future. Because you couldn't find the words to give him an explanation. And I think that that is a really big thing to work on before you date again. And whilst I don't think that you overreacted, I think it's important to acknowledge, as you have, that he was also half naked and confused. And because you didn't feel able to offer an explanation, he probably did feel quite flabbergasted. Don't see that as something to feel guilt, shame, or regret about. It wasn't a great situation. But I also think it was an important lesson for you. You will be able to get past the past, but you really now know that you've got these things that you need to work on. I would really recommend getting involved with something like the Freedom Project. If you just Google Freedom Project, there's a list on there of the different areas where they take place and where you can join a course, or go to @RoseTree, @RoseTree_Project on Instagram, as they have a couple of online courses. They've got the Own My Life course or the Writing for Recovery course. Those kind of things could really help you to process some of those feelings that are still hanging with you after the emotional abuse by your ex. So a course of therapy would also be really good, but it is essential that you begin to work on what your ex tried to take from you and start to build back your self-esteem and your ability to trust people again. And for future dating, I think it'd be really good for you to set boundaries and have conversations about your triggers before they happen, because it's extremely common to have bad reactions after experiencing sexual trauma. Very normal for people who've been abused or experienced sexual trauma in some way. So common for flashbacks to occur during intimacy and for you to start crying or suddenly having a freak out and be like, "Don't touch me," or just feeling really sick or whatever. Really common for that to happen. Totally doesn't make you abnormal in any way. But it would be good for you to talk to partners about that beforehand, to let them know the things that might set you off and to let them know that this is something that could happen and it's something that you're working on and it's a process. And the right partner will be kind and patient and will understand the need for you to stop if necessary. They will understand your need to keep your bra on and they will understand the need to make you feel incredibly safe, secure and sexy. So I don't think that you lost something great here. I don't think you should sit here living with the regret like, "Oh, he could have been the one." He wasn't the one, clearly. If he was, it wouldn't have happened. So don't worry about whether men will want to date you, because first of all, you don't need to date right now. You've got a little bit of healing to do. But also, you will absolutely find someone who wants to love you for all your messiness and your realness and everything that you've been through, which actually makes you the wonderful person that you are today. There really are good people out there. So I think it's really important for you to do some work and make sure that when you get into bed with people next time, you're doing it with people who you feel extremely safe with, who understand what you've been through in the past, and that you've got some strategies for managing anything that feels weird. But I don't think you should regret that one. Absolutely haven't lost anything. On to the next question for today.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hi guys, it's me and I'm here to tell you about another Sony Music Entertainment podcast. Now, I know you all like to have a deeper look and get under the skin of a subject. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me deconstructing hot topics and getting into the nitty-gritty with all your dating dilemmas. So I think you're going to love getting curious with the fabulous Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Every week, they deep dive into conversations with a variety of experts on some really, really important and eye or ear opening topics like the history of abortion and the science of sleep. Get excited, get curious, and listen to Getting Curious wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Lala. I wanted to ask some advice on my relationship. We're engaged and very soon to be married. He asked me at the beginning of the relationship about my past relationships, to which I kept some things concealed. One day he went through my phone behind my back and found out that I had more partners than I'd revealed. Since then, he's been asking me to tell him how many people I've slept with, to which I've refused revealing because I don't feel like he has the right to know, nor will it add any value to, in our lives. He believes he has the right to know as my future husband, and his fear is getting married to someone that's been around. To be honest, I haven't been with many people at all. I don't like to feel that I'm proving myself to someone. How do you think I can handle the situation other than telling him he needs to let go?
Well, obviously I come from the perspective that how many people you've slept with is completely irrelevant. As long as you've been tested and you haven't, like, slept with my sister or something, then I don't care whether it's one or 100. What I care about is what you're going to bring to your relationship with me, and past partners have no bearing on that. Unless, of course, a bit like the last question, those partners have traumatised him so much that he's been impacted, and therefore it may have a bearing on future relationships, in which case then I'd want to know. But numbers is irrelevant. It's got nothing to do with numbers. You could have had one previous partner who completely fucked you up, and you could not even have had sex with them. Or you could have had sex with 50 people and be completely unharmed by previous relationships. But he's not worried about trauma, is he? He's not asking this to find out how traumatised you are by different men. He's worried about you having been around. And to me, that sounds like it comes from a misogynistic, ego-driven place. It sounds to me like he cares more about what other men might think than he does about being with someone who makes him happy. He's clearly found someone that he likes, that he wants to marry, who he loves, presumably. But for him, it sounds like the opinions of random men who might have been there before him or who might think you're a slag mean more. And that is actually quite pathetic. I mean, I wonder how many people he's been with before. And it's interesting that that doesn't seem to matter to you and that you don't feel you need to know to ensure that you're not marrying a man who's been around. And I think that just says it all, really. It says how rooted it is in misogyny. And I feel like you have three options. Lie. If you aren't put off by his misogyny and you still want to marry him, then I'd say the best thing is to come up with a number that you think he'll accept and stick to that. 2 or 3 is probably good. Obviously, I don't recommend lying, and I believe that the truth usually does come to light anyway, but not in this situation. In this situation, I think if someone's asking you a bullshit question, then they need to accept a bullshit answer. Tell him the number of men that have made you come. And that's actually probably 0. So tell the truth. 0, mate. Like, none of them made me come. And I understand that culturally, it might be important for you to lie. I don't know where you're from, but in some cultures and whatever, it would be really awful for people to find out that you've had a certain number of partners. So maybe lying is the way forward. And I don't even think you should look at it as a dark lie, a nasty lie. It would be a white lie to get some misogynistic idiot off your back. Your other option is tell the truth and completely fucking own it, especially if that number is low. And I say low in inverted commas, because what is even high or low? Who fucking decides that, you know? And maybe your number is actually 1, 2, or 3, or even if it's more, own it. Be real. And if he doesn't want to marry you as a result, then you've lost nothing but a man-child. Truly. You are who you are. And every experience that you've had has led you to being the woman that you are now. And he either loves and accepts that woman wholeheartedly or he doesn't. And if he doesn't and his love is dependent on your sexual history, then he doesn't truly love you and he is not the man to marry. And then your other option is stick to your guns and do not tell him, because he doesn't actually need to know. You have the right to tell him that you feel like he's being weird about it and that you're not speaking about it, and that's it. And then he can decide if he still wants to marry you whilst not knowing exactly how many people you've slept with. Personally, I'd probably go with telling the truth, though I truly don't think that you owe it to him. But then that way he can make the decision to free you from the shackles of a judgmental or insecure man if he feels that you've been with too many. But as I say, you're also well within your rights to lie. Depends how much you want this marriage, you know? But think about it long and strong and clearly, because I think he's being an absolute twat personally. Anyway, on to the third and final question for today, which says...
Hi, Lala. I'm in a relationship and recently the guy I'm seeing keeps saying, the reason we can't have sex in many positions is because of my large hips. Is it true? Does it work this way? It's my first sexual relationship and I need advice.
So I just had a look at your profile. I hope you don't mind, which was public. And you are a slim woman with extremely normal average sized hips. You're beautiful, actually, sensational. Because I wanted to look to see if you were one of those women who keeps coming up on my Explore page. Have you seen these women on the Explore page who've had these most insane BBLs, which is the Brazilian butt lift, to the point that they can hardly walk? You know, I've seen a couple where they've got like, they're like a size 8 on top and like a size 30 on the bottom. And I wanted to just see if you were one of those, because maybe it would have been like, well, actually, that might be difficult. But you're not. And even if you were, having massive, massive hips still shouldn't prevent your partner or you from being able to do most positions. I have big hips, much bigger than yours, I can tell you. And I can definitely say that your hips here are not the problem. Your boyfriend's technique is. And I don't like the fact that he's blaming his sexual struggles on your body rather than just admitting that he needs to learn how to handle your beautiful body. And he could have actually just Googled that and educated himself. Maybe he should follow me and start looking at my Beducated ads and join Beducated, educate himself, figure out some strategies, anything other than turning around and saying, I'm not doing that because your hips are too big. I don't like that. But perhaps he's not actually even struggling with those positions. Maybe he just doesn't enjoy them and feels embarrassed or inadequate. Maybe he's early on in his sexual journey too. But it's definitely unfair and very inexperienced of him to blame your body. And actually, if he is sexually inexperienced, the two of you really need to communicate and learn together. As I said, Beducated would help. Even just Google the Kama Sutra or whatever. Sex positions. There's so many different ones that your hips wouldn't get in the way of any, I have to say. But for some people who are bigger, then maybe there are, you know, ways and means to get around that. Google maybe ethical porn. Make love, not porn, is a good place to start. And start learning each other's bodies. Beducated is a good place to go to learn about things like intimacy and pleasure mapping. And communicate those things. Learn together and communicate. But do not let him blame your hips. They are perfect and they are not a barrier to any type of sexual position whatsoever. Even if they were three times the size of what you've got now, they wouldn't be a barrier to any sexual position. Unless, sorry, it's just come into my head that maybe he's got a micro penis. And if he has got a micro penis, then again, it's not your hips that are going to be the problem. It's going to be his penis. But there are still things that you can do to work around that. But it is all about communicating. What feels good? Which position do I like? Can we try this one? Can we put a pillow under your hip or between your legs or around your knees or under your back or whatever? Learn together, experiment together, but don't take any blame on your body, which, as I said, is fucking perfect. So there we go. Come onto my page where we will be discussing one of these. And tune in on Friday for more hijinks and shaganigans, I was going to say. I don't even know what that is, but come here on Friday to find out. Love you. Bye.
La la la, let me explain.
This has been a Sony Music Entertainment production.